I'm now joined with Stephen Large from Threshold Ireland to discuss the current situation concerning ban on evictions, rent costs since the outbreak of COVID-19, the number of private landlords who have had cases taken against them for flouting tenancy laws, and also about the situation where monthly rents were suspended for some tenants who lost their jobs due to COVID-19 pandemic. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Johnny. Thank you for inviting me on.
You're most welcome. Stephen, first of all, the emergency legislation introduced at the end of March, it included a ban on evictions and a total rent freeze as well. Now that our economy is gradually starting to reopen, what's the current situation on it?
The emergency measures introduced on the 27th of March, they were introduced for a 3-month period, and I suppose they were to try to, protect people in the tenancies that they were in. So there's been effectively a ban on notices of termination during that period, and also any rent increases that were due to take place during those measures couldn't take place. So I have to say that from our perspective, they seem to have been working reasonably well. I suppose really what we need to look forward to now is those measures will run out next month and whether they will be extended. And there have been indications recently in the media that they will be extended as people slowly return back to normality.
Okay. Have you had many cases where people made complaints that being evicted even though, you know, the emergency legislation was in force?
I have to say that there have been very, very few cases where people have come to us where they've received notice of termination during these emergency measures. So, you know, in that sense, it has been working. I suppose what the last couple of months have really highlighted for us is the precarious situation of people who are renting a room, their licensees. And we found that initially there were a lot of those being ended. And unfortunately, licensees don't come within the protection of the legislation.
Okay, I understand. What's the position for any tenant who has, you know, they were served termination notice, but they have yet, you know, to leave the property? How does that work out for them?
It really depends on the notice and when it was due to take effect. And if a notice was properly given, then that time will just be added on at the end of the notice. So they will have that additional 3-month period, for example, before they will have to leave and find alternative accommodation. I suppose it's going to be quite an interesting period when these measures do end. So there's a lot of adjustment around the notice periods, but there'll certainly people will be exiting into a very different private rental sector than would have been the case had all these measures not taken effect.
Okay, so basically when the crisis ends, the tenant would still, they'd still have a certain number of days left from their notice.
Yeah, the period. Yeah. So it's quite technical, it's quite complicated. And certainly if anyone has been given notice and have questions about that adjustment period, they can always contact us on our free phone, 1800 454 454.
Okay, so that's 1800 454 454. Just repeating it for the sake of our listeners. Okay. What about rent supplement, you know, for those who lost their jobs due to the pandemic? Is this easily acquired now since the lockdown?
Yeah, so I suppose there a lot of listeners may have been affected by the COVID measures. They may have had their working hours reduced or may have been laid off, unfortunately, as a result of this. There obviously is the COVID pandemic payment of €350 per week. But in addition, if people are renting and their income has been affected, they can apply for rent supplement. I suppose just to put a little bit of context on it, rent supplement, many people will be familiar with it. It helped people pay the rent. But over recent years, a new scheme, HAP, has been introduced, which has effectively overtaken rent supplement. And rent supplement now is really there as a short-term emergency measure to help people that can't afford to pay the rent from their own resources. So what we have seen since these COVID measures have taken place is that there has been a surge in applications for rent supplement applications. At the moment, they seem to be getting processed. It's probably taken on average around 2 to 3 weeks to get processed, but most people coming back to us that have applied seem to be getting assistance with the rent supplement, even where the rent may be above the existing caps. A lot of flexibility is being shown.
Okay, and would they have to go to the usual standard procedures like putting their name down for a house on the council? Council has?
No, there's a fast track. No, there's a fast track application. There's a much reduced form that people now need to fill in the past it was over 20 pages. That's now been significantly reduced to try and fast track that process for people, and that's available on the welfare.ie website. It's also available if people, you know, need help with it, they can contact ourselves and we can work through it with them. But it's
Okay.
certainly a much more streamlined process. Unfortunately, there is still a bit of time to administer all of those, and there has been a surge in applications.
Is there a lot of paperwork though still involved, like providing, your means statements from your bank for the last 6 months and all that kind of thing?
Obviously, they will seek some information, like, you know, from the employer that you have either reduced hours or been laid off. But it's certainly a much more reduced, streamlined process as an emergency response to help people during this time. I suppose at the end of this, we're seeing people now that would have applied from the beginning. So they're now at the end of the month, they will be up for review just to check and see, are the circumstances still the same or have they returned to work? But it's a very, very streamlined process in comparison to what it previously was.
Okay, and even though it's temporary, it could be extended for the long term if it doesn't work out for them.
Absolutely, and I suppose that's one of the concerns that we would have, that it's not going to be an easy return for people. And a lot of people that are applying for this rent support are maybe people that are working in the hospitality sector in particular, who have been hugely affected by the COVID emergency measures. And it may be some time before people get back to normal. So we'd also have concerns that maybe there may be things around rent arrears and affordability. So what we'd like to see is that there is some controlled supports for an extended period of time, to avoid a rush of, for example, notices being issued or tenancies being ended because people are in rent arrears.
On a different note, Stephen, tell us about rent costs since the outbreak of COVID-19. I believe latest reports from daft.ie, they suggest a 2.1% drop for new properties in the market, on the market, I beg your pardon. Has there been an overall drop in rent costs since, the pandemic?
In terms of, the Daft, I suppose the Daft.ie report that you mentioned, that was for the first quarter in 2020. And in that report, they do suggest that rents are dropping. So between April and March of this year, there was a 2.1% decrease, which obviously is welcome. However, we still need to be aware that rents still have risen nationally by almost 4%. That is, surprisingly, that is the lowest rate of increase since 2012. So that's a welcome sign. Nationally now, the national average rent now is over €1,400 per month. And we're also seeing, I suppose, an increase in the number of properties that are available to rent. And again, that's welcome. So in this period, there were 2,500 properties available to rent in Dublin. So hopefully that will have some impact as well in terms of the rents that are being asked. But I suppose it's quite early to say what impact it's all having, but we could certainly say that the COVID measures will have a long-standing impact on the rental sector going forward. There is going to be more of a supply, and there's going to be, I suppose, an adjustment in terms of the affordability of the rents that people are expected to pay.
Okay, recently, on a different note, one private landlord, he was ordered to pay his tenant €9,000 plus in damages for unlawful termination of tenancy and also loss of belongings, and a further €10,600 plus in relation to other tenants, I beg your pardon, a few of them, for various breaches of tenancy laws. Are there many private landlords out there flouting tenancy laws?
There's approximately 170,000 landlords that are registered with the RTB. And by and large, the vast majority of landlord and tenant relationships work perfectly well. And, the majority of landlords and tenants comply with the law. Unfortunately, there are some landlords out there that, as you mentioned, are repeatedly attending the RTB in relation to disputes. And I suppose what it does highlight is that currently the RTB have no way of, I suppose, preventing a person from being a landlord where they're repeatedly offending. All they can do is, I suppose, they can be fined and further action taken for each offence. But they're certainly currently they don't have the legislative power to prevent a person from being a landlord. I suppose that's concerning. That whilst they can make decisions in disputes, that they can't take further action to prevent a person from becoming a landlord. I suppose the RTB themselves, they provide a number of training sessions for landlords or prospective landlords to help them comply with the legislation, and they have accredited training that takes place periodically around the country. And certainly anyone who is a landlord or thinking about being a landlord should contact the RTB in relation to those. But I suppose ultimately what you would like to see is you would like to see a number of additional measures introduced to prevent these repeat cases from happening. So for example, we don't currently have a licensing system in place. So I think a licensing system would go some way towards helping deal with these issues, and where people are in breach, that they could be reported, and if necessary, that license could be removed. There's also additional measures. Many disputes, for example, relate to deposit retention. And whilst the legislation is in place to introduce a deposit protection scheme to take it out of the hands of the landlord, it hasn't been enacted yet. So that's something that could certainly go towards helping avoid many of the disputes that arise. And also last year, the RTB were given additional powers through an investigation and sanctions unit. So rather than individuals taking individual cases, the investigation and sanctions unit can look at individuals and where they are in breach, for example, non-registration or breach of the notices of termination rules or rent review processes. Then the investigation and sanctions regime can take further action, and they can, if a person is guilty or found guilty, then they can administer significant fines.
Okay. Actually, can the RTB fine any landlord for breach of tenancy laws?
Yeah, there's at the moment, there's effectively, there's two parallel processes. So there's the individual dispute. So let's say, for example, you're the landlord, I'm the tenant, and you don't return the deposit to me. Then I can take an individual dispute to you. Or let's say you're the landlord and you've increased the rent illegally, then I can take a dispute to you. And that's really, it's just case by case. It doesn't really go anywhere else. You may have to pay back some money to me. You may be, you know, there may be some fine to you in that case, but it doesn't really go anywhere else. With the investigation and sanctions regime now, however, I can also report that to the investigation and sanctions regime, and they can then investigate. Now, it is relatively a new process, so they're very much finding their feet and I suppose trying to encourage compliance at this stage rather than coming along with the stick. But I suppose we still have the issue, going back to the article, is that a person can repeatedly offend. There's no provision at the moment to prevent that person from being a landlord.
Yes, they're still permitted to keep letting their out properties, and there's no way around that at the moment. Okay, roughly how many cases in this respect have Threshold had to deal with in the last year?
In terms of the repeat offenders, is it?
Well, or not necessarily repeat offenders, but those who have offended, if you know what I mean, by retaining deposits or evicting tenants without, you know, proper reason and so forth.
In terms of, yeah, in terms of going to the RTB, obviously those services have shut down and the COVID measures, but we've done approximately around 30 cases in Dublin so far this year.
Okay.
But that the RTB hearings have been suspended, since March. They are now going to be introducing paper-based hearings, so we're starting to see some of those coming through. But last year we would have dealt with approximately 200 cases in relation to the RTB. But I suppose our approach is always to try and advise people on their rights and responsibilities, and where possible to try and negotiate solutions informally to avoid having to go to the RTB. And most landlord-tenant issues don't end up going to the RTB. You know, it's only a small percentage of disputes will end up at the RTB, but nevertheless, last year there were still, you know, approximately 6,000 applications to the RTB.
Okay, so it's kind of like when you file for divorce, without going in the door of court, it can be settled outside.
Yeah.
Same thing, yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes it may be easier to resolve a divorce issue than a landlord-tenant issue.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's always preferable for all sides to be able to try and reach a settlement informally.
An agreement,
but
yeah. Yeah.
So the RTB would, I suppose, we'd always view the RTB as a last resort.
Okay. Stephen, finally, some tenants, they had their monthly rent payments suspended because, you know, they lost their jobs due to the pandemic. In this situation, what would be the procedure, you know, to repay the arrears to the landlord?
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult situation that a lot of people find themselves in. Our advice is always, in every case, where your rent is always due. So you should pay the rent in accordance with that. And if you're going to have difficulty in paying the rent, that you immediately contact the landlord and inform them and look at some solution to that. So whether that's, for example, agreeing to a reduced payment for a period of time, and that generally will involve some type of repayment after the fact, you know, when people maybe get back into work or their hours increase, etc., that you're then in a position to pay back at an affordable rate. We did mention the additional supports that are there. So, for example, if a person is entitled to, they may be able to apply for support through the rent supplement measures as well. The emergency measures are, you know, that if a person doesn't pay the rent at this stage, a landlord cannot terminate a tenancy under any circumstances, but that they may be able to do so once the measures are lifted. And I suppose our fear is that where people have fallen into difficulty with rent, that when the measures are lifted, that there's going to be an increase in notices being issued. So we want to try and prevent that as much as possible and ensure that the supports continue to be in place, and that where there are arrears issues, for example, that there's some mechanism put in place to try and deal with those arrears, you know, whether that's through a supported repayment plan. We want to do everything possible to try and prevent the loss of tenancies.
Yes, I understand. And I'm sure also there are some landlords out there who agreed to have their, you know, mortgage repayments suspended. You know, in other words, they agreed to suspend the rent for their tenants, you know, because they lost their jobs. And then in turn, they obtained a suspension of their mortgage.
Absolutely. That's a very good point, actually, Johnny, because there are provisions in place where people are struggling with their mortgage repayments to perhaps, you know, get a break from that for a period of time. But that will always have to be paid back. However, in paying that back, it's not going to be looked for in one lump sum. You know, there's going to be a repayment plan in place. So what we'd like to see is something reciprocal for tenants, that, you know, when things return to normal, that they're not suddenly hit with a, you know, a significant rent arrears bill. Yes, people will have to pay back any rent that is owed, but that you know, that should be worked out. It should be an affordable repayment plan in place, similar to what is available to someone that has a mortgage.
Right, so we're going to leave it at that. Stephen, thanks again for joining us, and all the very best to you, and take care.
Thank you, Johnny.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Stephen Large from Threshold Ireland speaking about a number of issues relating to tenancy laws.